Pelé was one of the greatest ambassadors for the sport of soccer around the world. At just 17 years of age, he broke onto the global stage in 1958 and would lead Brazil to its first of three World Cup victories. Wherever he went, Pelé not only represented the sport he played, but the country he was from. His very presence in Nigeria for a game even led to a 48-hour ceasefire in the Civil War, so opposing forces could watch the match. You know, as followers of Christ, we too are ambassadors, and it's something that we take with us wherever we go.
It's not a badge that you can put on and take off and lay it down all the time. Wherever I go, wherever you go, we are open letters of recommendation to the character and the credibility of Christ.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Whether you realize it or not, if you claim to be a Christian, you are a walking ambassador for Christ. This week, Charles Tapp asks, if you had a letter of recommendation for your Christian walk, how would it read? It's probably not a comfortable question, but it's one we need to be aware of. As he shares his message, a letter from God.
As I was reflecting upon our message for today, I could not help but to pause and to consider the important role that the Apostle Paul has played in the life of the Christian church. When you think about it, next to Jesus Christ himself, there is probably no other individual within Christendom that has had much of an impact, influence, and involvement in the development of the Christian church than the Apostle Paul. Think about it for a moment. Out of the 66 books that comprise the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 48% of the writings in the New Testament have been penned by Paul. He is the one who is given credit for having authored those books. And if you look at the Bible in its totality, Paul's contribution makes up around 20%. That's a huge impact. When you think about it, Paul's contribution to the Christian faith is major, especially when you examine his body of work, his exposition on such major themes as the role of suffering in the life of the believer. Well, Paul makes it clear to us that to suffer for Christ, even to die for Christ, is not loss, but it is gain. Paul deals with the theme of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, and Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Then there's the doctrine of grace and the role that it plays in our salvation. For Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and verse 9, for by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, and none of us has any right to boast. And then when you think about the second coming of Christ and what Paul told the believers there at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. We all know this, but I want us to take a look at it again today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to verse 18. Paul says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. It's not going to be quiet when Christ returns. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive, he says, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And look at what he says in verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, that when Christ comes, whether you're living or whether you've gone and passed away and fallen asleep, Christ will raise us up and we will be with him. I don't know about you, but I want to be alive when Jesus comes. I want to be able to see him come through the clouds of heaven. But In the final analysis, I'm just happy to be there. What do you say? And without Paul's letters, which have provided comfort and hope and inspiration for so many, if we did not have these, we could not have the message that we've prepared for today, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. But I want us to begin today by taking a look just at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at what the Word of God says. Paul begins with a question here. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters, he says, of commendation from you? Are we beginning again, Paul asks, to commend ourselves again? To provide a little context here, it sounds as if Paul is somewhat sensitive to the idea that some might have that he is guilty of self-promotion. We find Paul coming to his own defense in 2 Corinthians 2, in verse 17, where he says, listen, unlike so many, I'm not one who peddles the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, on the contrary, I speak before God with sincerity. But sadly, in too many places within the church then and within the church today, the peddling of the gospel, as Paul put it, is exactly what is taking place. For here we have men and women who choose to use Christianity as a way to promote their own selfish, their own self-serving agendas, of which lining their pockets is paramount. Their ministry is rarely about the gospel and the expansion of the spiritual kingdom of God, but most times it's about the expansion of their own personal earthly kingdoms. And you know, when I think about it, if anyone really had a right to brag, if anyone could get away with boasting, surely it was Paul. Remember what he said in Philippians chapter 3, 4 to 8? He says, listen, I was circumcised on the eighth day, like any good male Jew. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. He says, when it came to keeping the law, Paul says, I was what? Flawless. When it came to being zealous, Paul says, I was so zealous in trying to do God's will, I even persecuted those who were followers of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, listen, if anybody can brag about their works, about their reputation, please, surely it is me. So regardless of the charges laid against Paul, Paul goes on record that with him, it's not about the promotion of self. Paul is saying, I don't have my own agenda to push, but it's about the promotion of Christ. It's not about establishing my kingdom, Paul is saying, but it's about establishing and expanding the kingdom of God in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And that's what it's about today. That's what it really should be about. Not pushing our own agendas, not trying to expand our own kingdoms, but trying to expand the kingdom of God in the hearts of every man, in the hearts of every woman, boy, and girl. For as I've always said, the kingdom of God is not so much about a place, but the kingdom of God is about the place that God desires and deserves to have in my heart and your heart as well. Who says amen to that today? Then he adds later on in verse 1, he asks the question, he says, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or even from you? The some of you that Paul is referring to here, he's talking about those false teachers that he mentioned in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, that have come to Corinth with their own ideas to peddle the gospel for their own selfish gain. And they have come with letters of recommendations, letters of commendation. These were used quite frequently in the early church by Christians who would travel from one place to another as a way to establish their credibility with those who did not know them or were unfamiliar with them. In other words, these letters served as a way to vouch for someone's credibility. Now, how many of you have ever had to get a letter of recommendation? I'm sure many of us have. Also known as letters of reference, it's a document in which the writer assesses not just the character of an individual, but also the capability of that person that they possess to carry out the task, whether it's for a college, academic environment, or whether it's for a job. You know, as a pastor and as an educator, I have had to write many a letter of recommendation. As fate would have it, even just this past week, someone reached out to me and said, "Pastor, I need a letter of recommendation." If you're watching today, you know who you are. I gave you a glowing recommendation, because it's not hard to do that when the person's character and their capability matches with who they are. Paul says, should we go out and get one of those? But you know, it's tricky when it comes to writing a letter of recommendation. And the reason why it's tricky, because if you're going to be true to what a letter of recommendation is really all about, then you really need to be brutally honest in that letter. There have been individuals who have come to me over the years saying, "Pastor, can you write a letter of recommendation?" And I have to tell them, are you sure you want me to write that letter of recommendation? Because if you ask me to write it, if I'm going to be true to what a letter of recommendation is, then I've got to be honest. I've got to tell them about your character. I've got to tell them about your capability or the lack thereof. Why is that important? Because as we all know, glowing letters of recommendation that are written, especially in the workforce, are not always the truth. Sometimes you have one employer who just wants to get rid of an employee, so they write a glowing letter of recommendation. So the possession of a letter of reference is only as good as the character and the capabilities of the person that is being described in that letter. Let's take a look at verses 2 and 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as Paul continues here. He says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Verse 3, he says clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. If you can, underline that phrase. Clearly, he says, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. And I love what he says next, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, he says, of the heart. Wow. What an amazing response on the part of Paul. If ever there was a drop the mic moment, surely this would definitely be in the running. What is Paul saying here? That he doesn't need someone to write a letter on his behalf, vouching for his character, vouching for his capability of his calling. A letter, he says, written with ink that over time would eventually fade and become not legible, not even something written on stone that could eventually be broken. No, Paul makes it clear that the proof of the credibility of his calling is not written on paper or stone, but is written in the hearts of those lives that have been changed and transformed by the gospel that he has shared. Paul is saying, you're my letter. You want a recommendation that tells you about my character, my capability, my calling? Look in the mirror. You are my letter of recommendation. You are my letter of reference. You, he says, are the document that vouches for the efficacy of my ministry. But in verse 3, Paul adds something. He says, not only are you my letter, please don't miss this, not only are you my letter of recommendation, but in a very real sense, he says, you also serve as an epistle, as a letter of recommendation of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, it is your character, it is your transformation, it is your change of heart which vouches for the credibility of Christ himself.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, A Letter from God. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp asks, if you had a letter of recommendation for your Christian walk, how would it read? While it's probably not a comfortable question, whether you realize it or not, if you claim to be a Christian, you are an ambassador for Christ. He explains as he continues with the rest of his message, a letter from God.
Paul wanted them to understand that their lives are a living, breathing letter of recommendation in behalf of Jesus. Living credence and credibility to the claims that Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus was the incarnate God in human flesh. And dear friends, what this means for us today is that whether we realize it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, those of us who live our lives as professed Christians in a very real sense, we serve as official letters of recommendation written in God's behalf, giving credibility to the claims that he is truly a God of truth, that he is truly a God of grace, and that he is truly a God of love. I'm a letter, not recommending myself, but recommending Jesus. You're a letter of recommendation, if you're a professed Christian, that is, not giving credence to who you are, but giving credence to the one you say you love, you follow, and you serve. Paul elaborates on this further in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to verse 20. He says, now all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, what? The ministry of reconciliation, bringing, drawing people back into right relationship with God. Verse 19, he says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, what? The word of reconciliation. In other words, Paul is saying Christ has reconciled you, drawn himself to you, bringing you back in right relationship with him. And now that you're there, your job, my job, is to reconcile others to him. Look at verse 20. He says, now then, I love this, now then, we, that's you, that's me, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, what? Be reconciled to God. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying that you are a letter of recommendation. I am a letter of recommendation. We are instruments of reconciliation. As we draw others to him, we can take part in the ministry, he says, of reconciliation. And because we now have been given this ministry of reconciliation, we then, Paul says, become, please don't miss this, official ambassadors for Christ, his representatives to the world. Look at this powerful quotation by Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones here. He says, an ambassador from any country is always conscious of the fact that he or she has a tremendous responsibility because he or she is the representative by whom his country is going to be judged. And to us is given, look at this, the privilege and responsibility of being the representatives of the Son of God in this world. He goes on to say, we stand for him. People judge him by what they see in us, in the letter of recommendation. And they are perfectly entitled to do so. Why? Because we are the ones through whom and in whom he, talking about Jesus, talking about God, is glorified. Do we, I wonder, he asks the question, do we always realize this? In other words, do we understand that as professed believers, those who have accepted the name of Jesus Christ, that you and I, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him wherever we go. Some of you are saying, oh, Pastor, doesn't the Bible says, judge not that you shall not be judged? Well, that's not what it's talking about here. We judge everybody from cooks, whether they do their food and preparation well, to athletes and how they perform. Everybody is judged on some level. But you and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, which means because we have chosen his name, we will be expected to bring forth the same sweet aroma of love, of truth, and of grace that exemplifies the life of Jesus himself. Sadly, as we all know, this is not always the case. Instead of the name of Christian being something that represents truth and grace and love, in many circles, it carries with it the idea, the meaning of qualities that don't even come close to representing God and his character before the world. You know, I'm appalled at times when I see some of the things that I read on social media, some of the vulgar, despicable, irreverent, degrading comments that I see from time to time. And what makes me even more sad is that these deplorable comments are written by so-called Christians, official ambassadors, living, breathing, representatives, letters of recommendation in behalf of Jesus Christ. Years ago, many years ago for that matter, there was a professional basketball player who, in the middle of a game, spit on a fan because the fan made a derogatory remark. And when challenged by the fans as well as the league later, here's what his response was. He simply said, I'm not your child's role model. I thought to myself, In essence, he's saying, my job is to dribble a ball, and that's as far as it goes. If you're looking for a role model, if your child is looking for somebody to look up to, tell them to look at you. Now, whether you agree with that comment or disagree with that comment, when it comes to us being ambassadors to Christ, that kind of logic just does not hold water. Because whether you and I realize it or not, whether we're willing to accept the fact or not, we are role models. We are ambassadors. We are letters of reference that give credibility to who Jesus is. So there are some things we should never do, some places we should never go, some things we should never say, because at all times, 24/7, we are representing Christ. It's not a badge that you can put on and take off and lay it down. All the time, wherever I go, wherever you go, we are open letters of recommendation to the character and the credibility of Christ. You know, sometimes I wonder if our lives are like billboards. What would the slogan depicting your life on the billboard say? What message would you be giving to the world? Better yet, what message would I be sending to the world? I remember what Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, said. He said, listen, I like your Christ, but you Christians, I don't know about you, because you're so unlike your Christ. Is that the commentary that people are saying about me today? Is that the commentary that people are saying about you today? You know, I know our world is being turned upside down right now, and people feel emboldened to say all kinds of things. But that should never give you, it should never give me permission to say those things that are outside the character of Jesus Christ, even if it is on social media, better yet, especially because it's on social media, which means it's a permanent record of what you have said, what I have said. In closing, let's look at this powerful statement by one of my favorite theologians, John Stott. He says, true Christianity is not a veneer of morality glued on the exterior of our lives, but a profound change of heart, mind, and will, which is then expressed how? He says, in outward behavior. Doesn't that sound like the words of Jesus, the words of Paul? He closes by saying, the word of God changes individuals. In the context of Christian fellowship, look at this, from the inside out. Paul later articulated it this way in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So even the desire to do God's will is from God, and the power to do his will, Paul says, guess what? It's all from God. So in this dark world in which we're living today, let's be light. In this bland world, let's be the salt that brings flavor to this world in which we're living in. Let's stand for truth and justice and righteousness, but let's do it in a way that brings honor and glory to God, and not in a way that promotes ourselves and our own selfish agendas.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, A Letter from God. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
So I can't worry about what evil is doing. I need, as a citizen of God's kingdom, to be doing what I should be doing in spreading light, in being salt, in spreading truth, in spreading love.
We hope you can plan to join us again next week as Charles Tapp shares a new message titled, A Tale of Two Kingdoms. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.